This is Gus. In the 1990s, my friend Bill and I were canoeing and camping off the Gunflint Trail, and I forget the lake, but it was one morning we were canoeing down this long lake. It was a foggy morning, and in the distance we could see what appeared to be a man paddling a canoe, and it was a white-haired man. And from a distance, we thought he looked like Sigurd Olsen, even though Sigurd Olsen had died many years before this. As we paddled closer and the fog began to lift, we could see that it was probably this seagull that was on a rock and not a person in a canoe at all. Well, later that night, as we were in camp making a fire and ready for supper, we were talking about this, and a man in a canoe paddled by us in our sight and asked us if we had seen Sigurd Olsen. And our jaws just dropped, and we looked at each other, and before we could even say anything to the man, he was gone, paddled past our sight.
This is Phil, and my spooky story is not about a wilderness, but I have special dispensation. This would have been in the 80s, and my two daughters and I were staying at the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. And what was interesting about this is in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 a.m., I heard children's voices. It sounded like two girls talking. They sounded like they were in the alley right below the window. We were on the second story. And I thought, that's weird. What would little kids be doing out at this time of the night? So then I fell back to sleep. And in the morning, my two daughters who were in the next room said, did you hear the weird kids in the middle of the night talking? And I said, yeah. And we couldn't figure out, you know, what was the deal? What were the parents doing? Or why was nobody keeping track of these kids? So anyway, I totally forgot about it. And several years later, there were two guys that were restoring the hotel. And one of the ways they were making money was selling a book that sort of gave the history of the hotel. And so I bought a copy and I was reading it. And I came across a chapter about the girls that people heard in the middle of the night. And nobody could explain it. And so, of course, their explanation was that this somehow was some sort of ghosts or strange experience. But anyway, that sent chills up my spine, and that's my spooky story.
Hi, I'm Anne. And my story started a long time ago when I was camping at a campground in the Grand Canyon with my girlfriends, and we befriended a young man about our age in the campsite next to us, and we spent the evening just chatting with him. And then we went our separate ways, and then about 6 months later, I ran into this same guy. Well, I was walking on the mall in Boulder, Colorado, and we looked at each other, and it was quite surprising. But then about 2 years later, I was solo backpacking in the Adirondacks in upstate New York, and I ran into this guy, and he was backpacking in the middle of nowhere, and I just looked at him, and I didn't say it, but I just thought, are you stalking me? And that's my eerie story.
This is Martha, and my story starts back in the 1980s. I lived in the Twin Cities, and at that time I was married to a man named Oliver, and we decided we wanted to take a vacation somewhere for the weekend in northern Minnesota. And I worked with a nurse whose grandparents had died about a year earlier, and they had an old-fashioned cabin up near Cass Lake, and we decided to go up there. And it was on a lake called Kitchy Lake. And it was a beautiful place. It was mostly log. It was well cared for. It had like a little bunkhouse, and it was set in some old pines. It looked like one of those idealized northern Minnesota cabins on a lake that you see in paintings. It was really nice. So we got there and we went inside, and it was a little musty. It had been closed up for quite a while, and we spent a little time in there. And at some point, we both decided that maybe we'd prefer to spend the night in the bunkhouse. And we went out there, and that was actually even mustier, but we ended up spending the night out there. And the next day, we came in to the cabin again, and at some point, we both looked at each other and said, I think there's something funny about this place. And we headed back out to the bunkhouse again. And the next day, we decided to shorten our trip and head back to the Twin Cities. And we didn't say a whole lot about it. It was just very odd. So I got back to the Twin Cities, and I returned the key to my coworker, the nurse. And she asked me how our trip had been. And there was kind of a long pause, and I said, it came out of nowhere. I said, oh, I think the place might be haunted. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. Everybody that's gone up there in the last 6 months, either family or friends, have all reported that they didn't want to stay there, that they felt there was some kind of presence there. And she returned some money I had given her and apologized profusely. The husband, whose name is Oliver, is not a person that believes in ghosts. He doesn't believe in things being haunted. But he did make an exception for that particular cabin. Oliver and I have been divorced for 24 years, but I decided to give him a call and ask him what he could remember about our experience on Kitchy Lake. Is this Oliver?
Yes.
Do you remember Kitchy Lake?
Yes, I do.
Was there something strange about it?
There were some strange things going on. We felt that there was a presence, even though we don't necessarily believe in those things. But we came to this conclusion by ourselves. It wasn't like it was a terrifying thing. Was something that we noticed as soon as we walked in there.
Do you normally believe in ghosts?
No.
We always referred to that as the haunted cabin on Kitchy Lake.
Hi, this is Sunny, and my eerie wilderness story, well, it starts with another person, actually. It was a guy I knew who lived in the woods and spent lots of time in the woods, would come upon logging camps, old logging camps, buried under the trees, and he would find stuff and bring it back. And he showed me this long, like, rolled up tin piece once, and he said he found it in the remains of an old logging camp. I looked at it and said, what's that? And he said, I think this is a horn. And he blew in it, and it was just kind of this... And I'm like, horn? Who would have a horn in a logging camp? And he said, well, I talked to a bunch of people, and they said sometimes the cookie would have a horn. Call the people in instead of banging on a piece of pan or metal or something. And then we were talking about how it must have been rough back in the old days and having to work in the logging camps. And he said, you know, wouldn't it be weird if you were out at night sometime and you heard Cookie's horn? And ever since then, I had that in the back of my mind. Well, a number of years later, I was out at night in the woods with my dogs, dog sledding, and we were going along and everything was just fine. And all of a sudden, out in the distance, it was like this horn. And all the hair on my neck stood up. I stopped the dogs and stood there in the night. And sure enough, there it happened again. I don't know if it was Cookie's horn or not, but... it sure sounded like it.
Now? Am I on? All right. My name's Earl J. Cloudy, a neighbor of Sunny, and she told me to come over here and tell about some goofy story that, well, one night when The wife and me were lying in bed. She starts jabbing me in the side, telling me that there's a noise out there. And sure enough, I wake up and, yeah, there is a noise. And, you know, kind of sounded a little bit like a wolf. And well, certainly no wolf in the house, that's for sure. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll go and see what this is all about. And I walked out to the kitchen there, and there was a fly stuck on the bottom of a cup. It had fallen off of the sticky tape that we catch flies on, and got stuck to the bottom of the plastic cup, and was making all that noise. And, well, the wife thought it was some kind of ghost or something, and I told her, it's just a fly on a plastic cup. That's it. That's as eerie as it gets.
You've been listening to Borderlines on the Lake County Journal. The eerie music during this feature was by violinist and composer Michael Galasso, and we also heard Dead Room by Nick Waterhouse. Thanks to the Lake County Journal regular commentators who shared their stories, in addition to Earl J. Cloudy, Gus's wife Anne, and my favorite ex-husband in the Twin Cities, Oliver.